name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we're opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks for joining us on this journey. Well, we've been telling you now for a couple of weeks that adjustments were probably coming. We're adjusting to this strange spring, just like the rest of you. And Roger and I are recording completely remotely. Neither one of us are in our typical studio. We're sheltered at home the way that everybody else is called to. But we're thankful for technological tools that continue to help us stay connected and try and provide some fuel for your journey. Roger, it's great to be with you today.
It's good to be here. It's good to be back with our podcast family. And we're thankful that we can still stay connected this way. And as you said, it's not the way we would like it to be, but it sure beats nothing. And we hope that we continue to encourage you and have you look in your Bibles and keep remind ourselves that we're journeying toward heaven. That's what we want to do.
We tried the month a couple of March, of days ago. I didn't mean to cut you off there. We tried to record a couple of days ago. We released a Wednesday podcast, but we tried you on your speakerphone, and that didn't go as well as we had hoped. So we're trying something else. You told me afterwards you sounded like your head was in a bucket, but so far I don't think it sounds like that.
I hope not. So here on our Friday podcast in March, we've been talking about what Christianity looks like through the ages. And we tried to focus on different aspects of different ages of life. We started off talking about the middle school person, someone's about sixth or seventh grade, and what does Christianity look like? That wasn't mean to be heaven bound when you're a young person. Then we talked about the single Christian, someone who maybe post college, they're by themselves still, and what does that journey look like for them? And then last time we were together, we talked about the young family, mom, dad, and the kids, and how Christianity looks like for them. And so in this episode, we want to talk about what we may call the senior citizen. We want to talk about the autumn years and to look at some things the Bible teaches about that that will kind of encourage us and help us as we think about this aspect. One thing we notice is that through every age, there's different challenges. There's different things we face and life changes, but God's word never does. And what God expects of us never changes. And those are some things we have to keep before us as we think about this. And so as we begin, there are numerous passages that talk about the older person, the older Christian. Paul referred to himself in Philemon verse 9 as Paul the aged. And he realized that he was on the other end of life. And there are some things that come with that. And he recognized that. The book of Psalms in chapter 37, verse 25 says, I've been young and now I am old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. And for a lot of us, we can relate to that passage. We've been young and now we are old. And we've seen the cycles of life and all the things that comes with that. And so what we want to focus on in this episode is how to finish strong. Finish strong as God wants us to, and to look at some things along that line.
Roger, as I think about this, you've described it as a cycle of life. One of the passages that comes to my mind is from the book of Ecclesiastes. We're drawing close in our daily Bible reading. We're toward the end of Job, and we're going to move in our Old Testament section of that reading schedule into Ecclesiastes. That wise writer has a lot to say about the aging process. I know one passage that came to both of our minds when we were just briefly talking about this episode is Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The wise writer there in Ecclesiastes 3 says, for everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. time to be born and a time to die. He moves on from there to talk about planting and healing and building up and weeping and laughing and all sorts of other things. But we've got just a sweeping summary there that if the Lord allows us time, there is a time that we come into this world, and we've been told from the very beginning there's going to be a time that we go out of this world. But the assurance in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 is God has made everything beautiful in its time.
You know, and one of the neat things about that phrase seasons is that we know seasons run in cycles. We're in the spring. We know what follows is going to be summer, and then fall, and then winter. It's always the same cycle. And life tends to be like that. Life tends to be in a cycle. We're little and we're taken care of by our parents. But then we grow up, and guess what? We get to take care of our parents. And as we've had children and raised the children, the time will come when they'll need to take care of us. That's kind of that cycle we see there. We see it even within the church, where we have a new disciple, a new Christian, and he needs to learn so much. But he grows and he grows, and as he develops, he may be appointed an elder or an experienced Christian to help shepherd the people of God. It's that cycle that we're kind of looking at, that life runs through. And that I think that's kind of interesting how Solomon uses that phrase, seasons. There's appointed season. And that's something, again, as this series is talking about, helps us so much.
Yes. So we've talked about some of the beauty of, let's say, the spring of life and the beauty of some of the summer of life. We're told he's made everything beautiful in its time. So when you think of, okay, the beauty of the autumn years, what comes to your mind?
Well, you know, first of all, we tend to think negative. We think, you know, the best is behind us, and we tend to think that, okay, my life is about over, and so I'm just hanging on till the Lord checks me out of this place. But there's just a lifetime of memories, a lifetime of experiences, a lifetime of learning and seeing things, and I think one thing that really helps us. Right now, in the midst of this coronavirus, you talk to somebody that went through World War II. You talk to somebody that went through the Depression. Okay, they don't get as alarmed as maybe some younger people do, because they have seen things before. Things have come, things have gone. We look at the stock market; it's crazy right now. Well, it's happened that way in the past, and so there's a sense in which there's a calmness and a stability about us, because life has shown us these things. We've been through many storms before, and this is just yet another storm, and all things will be fine when we get to the end of this. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about that.
Perspective is a beautiful thing to have. The book of Ecclesiastes has a lot to say about perspective. And so, okay, it is beautiful to have those memories and those experiences that provide perspective. On Wednesday of this podcast, we talked about the power, the blessing of calm, steady hope. I think that's the sort of thing you're talking about. What else do you think might he have in mind? We know God has made everything beautiful in its time. What else is beautiful about these autumn years?
You know, I think there's a sense in which you see what's really important in life. And sometimes when you're young, you know, again, maybe perspective, it may be seeing things as God sees them. But we sometimes get caught up in a rat race. And we see the joy of just, number one, enjoying God's creation, just the beauty of the springtime, flowers coming up and the leaves are coming out, and just the wonderful thing of that. This happens every year, but there's a sense in which I think a person has that eye to see that and to appreciate that so much. There's a joy in older people when they see
their grandchildren or great grandchildren come around them, you know, that young life. And then that just brings a great sparkle to them as they think about, you know, this world isn't going to the dogs, and here comes another generation, and it's full of hope and goodness. And I think there's a lot of joy in that as well. But I think also from a spiritual standpoint, you take somebody who's been a Christian for 40, 50, 60 years, you think about all the sermons they've learned, all the Bible classes they've been in there, how many hymns they've sung through the years, what a rich depth of knowledge they have, what a great faith that they have. And I think that's a treasure that you just don't get sometimes until you've put in the time. And that's one of the blessings, I believe, there.
And it's that treasure, I think, that helps us as we grow older to be prepared for what the writer of Ecclesiastes describes toward the end of that book as the evil days. You know, a lot of times many of us can recite at least the first part of Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, right? Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. It's a great memory verse for young hearts among us. But that's not the complete thought in Ecclesiastes 12. It's remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. He goes on to poetically describe the physical process of aging, and we might circle back to that in a moment. But, you know, I love what you've brought out, that all of those sermons, all of those songs, those observances of the Lord's Supper, the fellowship that a brother or sister in Christ enjoys for year upon year upon year, perhaps equips them, gives them a treasure in their heart, so that when these evil days come, when it would be very easy for an older person who doesn't have a relationship with God to say, I have no pleasure in life anymore, that doesn't have to be true for the Christian.
You know, I think some older people got the idea that age gives you the right to be a grump, and it really doesn't. And, you know, people who are just grouchy and sour, and you think all those years God has put you on this earth, what a blessing. So much to be thankful for. How many sunrises and sunsets God has given you. And a lot of people have just wasted them. You know, when we think about Methuselah, about the only thing we know about Methuselah, other than being related to Noah, was that he was the oldest man in the Bible. But there's nothing good attributed to him. It never says he encouraged anybody. It never said he taught anybody. He just lived to be old. And that's some people. They just live to be old, and they haven't done anything. But for the disciple, what a blessing to see young people. Maybe as we think about our congregation, a little baby there is coming in its mother's arms. And to see through that year, the baby grow, he becomes baptized, he's leading singing, maybe he's even out preaching, maybe someday he becomes a shepherd. Through the years, you've seen that development. What a great joy that is. And to know that maybe you had a part of that. Maybe you were the encourager. You were the Bible class teacher. You were one to help this person stay on course for Jesus. What an incredible thought that could be.
And of course, that is vital to think about from a very young age, just like Ecclesiastes 12 is encouraging, because it is difficult to grow older physically. We know that. The first several verses of Ecclesiastes 12 describes the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain in the day when the keepers of the house tremble. You know, you picture an older person whose hands tremble, and someone who at one point in time, you know, we would describe him as strong as an ox, and now he's a little bent over, and he doesn't have as many teeth. The grinders are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed. He's not able to see as well anymore. It's several verses that describe for us what it is like to age physically, but there is this reminder in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, the dust is going to return to the earth as it was. Now, that's not news in Ecclesiastes 12. We learned that on page 3 of our Bibles, right? That we're not going to live on this earth in our physical bodies forever. The dust is going to return to the earth as it was, but here's the key. The Spirit is going to return to the God who gave it. We need to remember that as very young people. We need to remember that as young adults. We need to remember that as older adults. We need to remember that in our autumn and winter years. Just because our physical bodies age and begin to deteriorate does not mean that life, existence, is over.
And that takes us to a great New Testament passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. That phrase lose heart means to be discouraged. We do not get discouraged, but though the outer man is decaying, exactly what Solomon's saying, the outer man's falling apart. How many of us have to have artificial hips, things in our ears, things in our eyes, all kinds of artificial things to help us get by? Although the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. So what's saying in that passage is our inside and our outside are going two different directions. Our outside's falling apart, but the inside's getting stronger and stronger and stronger in Jesus. And that comes from years of practice. That comes from a faith that's just grown and grown and grown through the years. And again, I think how important for our senior citizens among us to realize this. There are things you cannot do physically anymore. It's just impossible for you to do that. But spiritually, what a rock you can be to our church. What a foundation you can be just to show us again through the times how to keep walking with Jesus, how to keep our eyes upon the Lord as you have done for years after years after years.
I'm sure you, just like I, have heard from some who are in these autumn years who feel a real sense of guilt that they are not able to do what they once did. But I love that you're highlighting these people can be some of the most thoughtful, heartfelt encouragers in any church family.
You take some Christian that's in his 80s, and he sees a young man who maybe gets up for the first time on a Wednesday night and gives an invitation. That young man might have been nervous and stumbled just a little bit, and he's inexperienced. But that young man gets a card and a letter from that 80-year-old Christian just saying, I've seen a lot of these things, and I'm so impressed with what you've done. And I've got a bunch of those cards when I started off. What a difference they make to hear from a senior Christian that they see potential in you, they believe in you, and they can help you in so many ways. And so
there's beauty in every season. Go right ahead.
So when we think about the autumn years, it shouldn't be downhill. It shouldn't be a thing where we're just discouraged and we know death is coming and we're going to check out. First of all, our concept of death needs to be what heaven's concept is. Nothing more than a door. We want to be on the other side with Jesus anyway. So there's no fear in that at all. And we need to be able to do what we can do. You know, there's times in Paul's life, he wanted to preach in Asia and God said no. God sent him somewhere else. So maybe health does not allow you to teach a class anymore. Maybe health does not allow you to get up and give an invitation anymore. You can still write a card to somebody. You can still encourage somebody. You can look at these young families and remember what it was like when you had a young family and how you struggled. And they come in and they're tired and they're stressed and they wonder if they're doing any good whatsoever. And you just remind them, yes, yes, you're doing good. And that encouragement side is so powerful as we think about some of the things that they can do.
For those who are younger, I think one thing that absolutely needs to be attached to this is take advantage of those opportunities. Be willing to listen. Be willing to ask someone who is further down the road of life out for a cup of coffee. Maybe it's a matter of visiting them in the nursing home or not immediately after the end of a worship assembly, turning and talking to someone your own age, but talking with some of these brothers and sisters who are at a different stage. I love how in the context of our own church family, our brother Darren describes these older saints as living treasures. And that's exactly what they are. We need to treat them as living treasures.
So let's go back to Ecclesiastes where we were, and let's focus again on that phrase, the seasons, and that there is a season, an appointed season for all things. And so some of the points we could pull out of that is, first of all, life runs in cycles, as we've mentioned, and each season of life brings its challenges, and that's what we've tried to do in this series. What's running through the mind of a seventh grader is not the same thing that's running through the mind of a senior citizen. They are poles apart, okay? But they have the same need, and that is Jesus. And each phase of life you find yourself in, you find challenges. I remember as a young parent, you know, my kids, they go through different phases. When, you know, the newborn, and I didn't like the newborn because you can't do much with them. But then they were toddlers, and that was my favorite age. And I just kept thinking, I just wish they'd always stay this age. And then they get to the preschool age, and then the school age, and the proud parent in the stands as you watch your child there on stage or on the sports field, you know, just so happy. And then they get to be older. And then they're getting married. Now they're having their own children. And it seemed like each phase of life was so wonderful from a parent's perspective. But each phase brings challenges. And how we get through those challenges is through the Word of God. God helps us. And I think also, as we think about this concept of seasons, every season forces us to change somewhat. I mean, when you're 8 years old, it's going to be a lot different when you're 25 years old. There's some changes, and whether you want to do that or not, you're forced to change. A 25-year-old that's living at home and playing video games all day is not going to get very far in life. So the seasons of life forces you to change. And you know, like the little child's game, ready or not, here I come. Ready or not, life changes. And you have to be able to adapt to those changes. And then we understand that there are certain things that can only be done at the right season. This is why when God chooses the words for the men who are going to lead the church, he used the word shepherds, pastors, elder. Elder meaning not just old, but elder meaning experienced, spiritual experience. And so there's certain things that come at the right seasons, and we need to see that. And then I think finally, as we think about this word seasons, it reminds us also that seasons come, seasons go, but eternity lasts. And our focus, whether we're 8 years old or whether we're 25-year-old or whether we're a young family or in the autumn years of our life, is that we need to focus on eternity because that's going to be forever. And that's what God needs to remind us of.
Well, and he does that exactly in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. We've got this amazing statement that our Creator has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. There are a lot of very young people who try and tune out that eternity-sized hole in their hearts, and young adults, try and avoid that. There are a lot of people who have a tough time with seasons like this that we're going through right now, where rhythms are disrupted and life is much more calm in some respects. We don't have the opportunity to hustle and bustle around in areas that we normally would. A lot of attention naturally can turn inward, and sometimes we're uncomfortable with what we find there. I would argue because we are ignoring the fact that our Creator has put eternity into our hearts. The goal, of course, is that we would recognize and remember this Creator, and that however long the Lord gives us on this earth, if it's 20 years, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, however long he gives us, isn't the goal to be able to say with Paul in 2 Timothy 4, I'm ready. I know the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith of my Creator, and now I know I am heaven bound. That's the goal for all ages.
We in that hymn we sing Amazing Grace, there's that line, when we've been there 10,000 years. That's hard to imagine. Someday we'll look back and this will just be a moment. You sometimes think, parents will sometimes tell you, you turn around three times and your kids are growing up. Well, someday when we're on the other side, we'll look back and this will just seem like a flash. But what really matters is that eternity in our hearts and our relationship with the Lord.
Heaven bound through the ages. We appreciate you thinking through that with us. And, Roger and I, even though we're adapting just like the rest of you, are still doing our absolute best to be in contact with people, to answer correspondences. Maybe something even about today's episode has got you thinking. And we want you to know that you can reach out to us via email or text, or if you don't have either one of those, you can reach us through the contact form of the charlestownroad.org website. We're here to talk about these things. We're here to help, even in the midst of these strange days, we're here to help you get your mind set on things above. And we're serious about that. We aim to be heaven bound. We want to help you be heaven bound. Roger, any closing words as we head into this weekend?
We will wrap this series up, and by next time, Lord willing, we'll have a new series kind of in our minds, and we'll be ready to launch a new series for you. But we hope this little, these four little lessons of life will help you and remind you that no matter where I am, what phase of life I am, number one, God is still with me. He still loves me and expects me to do what I can where I'm at. And that keeps us on this heaven-bound journey.
I appreciate that. Roger, thanks for continuing to jump through some techno hoops with me each time here. We're making some adjustments, but we're learning, and we appreciate you, our listening audience, being patient with us and continuing to be an encouragement to us. We hope that our time in today's episode has helped you set your mind on things above, and it's given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, even as we're doing our best to remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.